Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4, we're going to read verses 38 through 44 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Luke, chapter 4, verses 38 through 44. He arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. They besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him, and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And let's finish on verse 44 together. Ready? And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for what you've done for us. Now, Holy Spirit, would you please anoint the next 35, 40 minutes? Would you make it a holy time? Lord, so often we get busy in life. We get so busy that we forget you. May we learn from you how to stay busy, but to keep the personableness of a relationship going, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. As you read the Bible, you will see that Jesus was constantly busy. He did a lot of work. You have to understand, he worked with a lot of people. I realize many of you men do physical labor, and by the way, I appreciate it. Many of you men this week, you'll be working in the heat, and I try to remember you working outside and all that mess and all the hot, and boy, it'll soak it out of you in a hurry. Many of you work with your hands or your mind even. Mental work is honestly just as fatiguing at times. Others, many of you ladies, are very busy and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Did you ever think about how much work Jesus did? Have you ever thought about how busy he was? We read just a small passage here where Jesus goes in, he heals Peter's mother-in-law. Then he goes out and there is a crowd there and he touched and healed every one of the people there that had a disease. Then he did spiritual battle against demons. By the way, you don't understand real battle till you have to do spiritual battle. Physical battle's tough. Spiritual battle, it'll wear you down like that, let me tell you. I live my life in spiritual battles. You ought to fight somebody you can't see. You ought to fight something much stronger than you in power that you don't have. And it will wear you down. By the way, isn't it interesting? Listen to this statement. Jesus was casting out devils, demons, and they said, Thou art the Christ. Do you know that man is the only creature that wants to deny that God and Jesus are there? Even the devils called him Christ. Huh. Add to that, he was fighting the denominationalists, the religious crowd. He was fighting the political crowd. And he just stayed busy. Plus, he preached virtually every day of his life and sometimes, many times a day, to thousands and thousands and thousands of people and did not have a PA. Jesus was busy. He didn't walk around town with his hands folded, blowing kisses to everybody, saying, Kumbaya, here we go. Folks, we have a Hollywood conception of what Jesus was, and it's wrong, just so you know. Jesus was a hardworking, productive, busy man. Listen to this. Professionals from the banking community to the fishing community left their jobs, stopped their paychecks, left everything they had and followed him and worked full time by faith. Somebody that walks around wiggling when they walk, blowing kisses, doesn't attract people like that. Not a man in here going to leave your job to follow some man walking around blowing kisses. You might leave it long enough to beat the snot or the mucus out of him, but that's about as long as you're going to leave the job, amen? You're not going to stop your paycheck to follow a dude like that or a dudette. Listen to me. It's no wonder that Jesus stayed busy. God created the earth in 6 days. Have you ever stopped to pay attention to how beautiful our world is? Do you ever pay attention just to how beautiful the state of West Virginia is? And God created it. And add to that all the square mileage of just the United States, then Canada, Mexico, South America, Africa, Asia, Europe, Australia, Antarctica. Then you add to that all the islands dotted throughout all the oceans. Add to it every creature, including the mosquitoes and the gnats. Add to it everything that we have in nature. God did that in 6 days. I don't know about you. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. Listen to this. Not only did he create it, he keeps it going every moment of the day and night. Add to that, God listens to millions of people's prayers. He works at meeting each and every one of their needs. He writes down every salvation. He keeps track of the works they do so that he can reward us later. He's building mansions for us, and he takes time to care about us as individuals. Not only that, listen to this statement. God also takes care of the people that hate him and deny that he's even there. It rains on the just and the unjust. He makes sure that every person has their basic needs met and available to them. Wow. God's pretty busy, isn't he? Now, I am not the busiest person in the world. I keep a pretty aggressive schedule. And I realize there are people busier than I. I've been averaging 75 to 80 hours a week for, and I hate saying this, but 29 years plus. I was doing a little calculating. At 70 hours a week for 29 years, that's almost 115,000 hours of work I've put in. That's over 13 years of my life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, nonstop, in the last 29 years. By the way, those are conservative numbers. My wife will tell you I spent a 3-month span of my life averaging over 110 hours a week. Now, fellas, those weeks will destroy your health. Don't do that, all right? There's only so many hours you can work. I say that to say this. I don't want my life to change. I wished I could do more. I really do. I have no regrets. I wouldn't change anything unless I could put more time in. I love what I do. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever looked at God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and wondered, how do they do it all? Man, God didn't get it all started and just let it happen. That's evolution. That's wrong. God didn't start this world and just let it go on its own. Just let it be. God didn't say, here it is, y'all. You take care of it. I'm taking a breather. I did mine. No, that's not what he did. God gave man the job of caring for the world, but no human is in charge of the sunrise and the sunset. No human is in charge of making it rain. No matter how much Miss Kathy makes Brother Gus dance. No human can control the wind. God did not leave his work to man. God keeps his end of the bargain no matter whether man does or not. kind of a humorous thought. I'll tell you how I think every once in a while. Did you ever wonder why God put the gold so deep in the ground and scattered everywhere? I wonder if before the flood, it wasn't a little closer. Think about that one for a while. God said, you're going to mess up. I'm going to make it harder on you to succeed. Here you go. Boom. Bible says that the depths were broken up. Guess what? It got covered by a lot of dirt. Today, tonight, I want to show you how God keeps it all going. I want to show you how to be busy, show you how to be productive, but not lose being personal or not becoming impersonal in life. Life's busy. You've got home, work, church, school, friends, etc., etc., etc. Can I tell you something? There's not a person on the face of the earth, and probably all of us put together, that are as busy as God is. Guess what? God takes time to hear you. God takes time to be personal with you. By the way, one of the things that I had a man, Brother Mark, you were with me. I had a man ask me, and he said, like your church, I'm afraid it's going to get big. He said, don't you think big churches get impersonal? I said, I don't think they have to. I think many do, but I don't think they have to. I said, I happened to work for a man that had the largest church in America, and guess what? It was not impersonal. I said, I've watched it done the right way. You say, how do you do it? How does God get it all done? Number one, God plans and organizes in such a way that the motion is the same or repetitive. Now, I'm going to use some terminology here that I know you're not going to find in the Bible, but it describes it well. Did you know that since the first day, every day has been the same amount of time? The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were of the third day. The evening and the morning were of the fourth day. Guess what? Every day since has been the same. You know that God sets things up into a pattern, into a motion, into a predictability. Did you know that even the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork? Do you know that there are computer programs out that are and they can track the heavens? We know by how the earth revolves around the sun in a 365 and one quarter day loop around the sun, and how the stars move in the sky every night. It is so predictable that they've set up an algorithms to them, put them on computer, and you can pick any date in world history and find out what the sky looked like where you live. Say why? Because God set it in a perfect pattern. He put it to where it was predictable. That's why you have the 12 signs that move with the 12 months a year. You have people that worship it, but that's not what it was for. It was so that you knew what month you were in by the position of the stars. Everybody doing okay? It's no accident that there's 12 of those. Say why? Because there are 12 months. And it all works out just the right way. Everybody doing all right? Can I tell you something? We live with 7 days in a week, 24 hours in a day, 60 minutes in an hour, 60 seconds in every minute, and 365 and one quarter day in every year. Guess what? It does not change. Do you know that if Mark Rogers dropped dead, time will not stop? It will for him, but not for Leslie. He'll have a party. I mean, everything. Just make sure the insurance is paid tomorrow, all right? But, folks, did you realize no matter whether you live or die, time keeps going? No matter who you love that has passed away, time keeps going. You say, why? Because God set it in motion, and what God sets in motion is eternal. It's repetitive. It does not change. By the way, God tried to teach this to man. If you go back to the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus, and he's setting up for the Jews all of the feasts and everything. He said, at this time of the year, you do this. And at this month and this day, you do this. And at this month and this day, you do this. And at this month and this day, you do this. Guess what? He was teaching man to do things in a set pattern. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. You need to schedule your life to where it repeats in a very common way to be productive. I'm going to get very practical. Don't get mad at me, all right? You don't have to set your life up exactly the way I'm about to say this, but I promise you, it will help you. Do you realize that every year we have our spring and fall program virtually the same weeks of the same months every year? Did you know that our ladies' meetings come virtually at the same time every year? Say why? Because we're trying to get into a pattern that's very predictable. Did you know that Valentine's Day is always February 14th? Did you know that Christmas is always December 25th? Did you realize that Thanksgiving is always the last Thursday of November? That's why I hate how our calendar does Easter. It's all based on the moon. Easter's never the same. I hate Easter. You say, why? You never know when it's going to be. That is my least favorite holiday when it comes time to predictability. You know that July 4th never changes? Glory to God. I hate the way that the denominations, by the way, when you leave it up to a bunch of religious people, they screw everything up. Well, it's based off of the first full moon after the first this of the, stupid stuff. That's why Jesus nailed it to the cross. Amen. That was my Easter sermon. You can go back and listen to that. Ladies, you'll be happier if you wash clothes the same days of the week every week. I know that's a novel idea. It used to be, did you ever hear Grandma say, it's wash day. She knew which day was wash day. She usually had one or two days a week that was wash day. Some of you ladies run yourself into the ground because you're always behind. Can I tell you why you're always behind? Because you never do anything at the same time all the time. Do you know if you were left in charge of sunrise, some of us would never see daylight? Folks, I really want to help you. Can I tell you something? Some of you need to learn to clean your house by schedule. Some of you get discouraged because you can't clean it all at one time. You know, if you just took one room a day and cleaned it, most of you could clean your house. Say, yeah, but I'd be cleaning every day. Okay, clean two rooms a day, and then you only have half a week that you have to work. Some of you don't clean at the same time every day. Good night. Bathroom cleaning day at Grandma's house was Saturday. I remember. Say why? Because that's when they did it. That was the day my grandfather passed away. He walked in early on a Saturday morning. Grandma was cleaning the bathroom. She said, Fred, will you shake out the rugs? You all know what I'm talking about, shaking out the rugs. He said, sweetie, I'd do anything for you. Grabbed the rugs, walked out of the bathroom, came around the corner, got halfway across the living room, and was in heaven that quick. Say, what was it? Saturday morning, it was bathroom cleaning time. Folks, it was a rhythm. You get yourself into a pattern of life. By the way, that's why you're supposed to go to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, get into the rhythm of it. Get going into a rhythm of soul winning. Some of you don't read your Bible every day. Can I tell you why you don't do it at the same time every day? Some of you don't pray. Can I tell you why you don't do it at the same time every day? You might laugh at me, but I read my Bible in the same place every day. Say why? That's my appointment with God. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Some of you have a backslidden state of Christianity because you don't do anything the same. Some of you are going to be late to your own funeral. Can I tell you why? You don't do anything the same. Nothing. And you wonder why you live your life so frustrated. Can I tell you something? God's not frustrated. Organized people don't get frustrated. The only thing that frustrates organized people is disorganization. Now, I'm not talking about being obsessive compulsive here. You can micromanage everything. But may I say this, the more organized you are, the less stress you'll have in life. You know, maintaining, remembering, and getting things done comes much easier if you know when it's coming. You know, some of you don't get ready for church until you're ready to leave on Sunday morning or Sunday night, and you wonder why you're late. Some of you have children. Can I tell you something? You ought to get ready on Saturday and have all their clothes ready Saturday before they go to bed. Have it set out, all the shoes counted. Oh, you're missing one. Go find it. Get everything out. Some of you run frantic, running around, screaming, hollering. Get in the flesh before you ever get to church because you're lack of planning. I'm just being honest with you. It's a good thing you're not in charge of the universe or nobody would ever have clothes. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to help you. Some of you that have a hard time, you got to get your clothes ready for work the night before. Make the lunch the night before and put it in the refrigerator. Put a note on the door before you go out. Don't forget your lunch, stupid. All right? That's the notes I write for me, not my wife. All right? But don't forget your lunch. Now, wait a minute. Man, I want to say so much. Did you know that God liked things even looking the same? Listen to this. When Moses got the pattern for the tabernacle, he went up on Mount Sinai, and according to the book of Hebrews and the book of Exodus, it says, I'll show thee the pattern in the mount. You go to the book of Hebrews, you find out of the true tabernacle in heaven. God said to Moses, let me pull the curtain of heaven back. I want to show you something, Moses, and I'm going to give you the blueprints so that when I leave heaven, come to earth, and sit on the mercy seat on earth, it's exactly like the one that is in heaven. Did you know that there are trees in heaven? And did you know there are trees in earth? Did you know there are rivers in heaven and there are rivers here on earth? Did you know that there are hills in heaven and there are hills here on earth? Some are higher than others. Say, why is that? Did you know that there are plants in heaven and there are plants here? Can I tell you why? God likes things being very similar. He does. You are your happiest when things get into a rhythm and they're done at the same time all the time. My wife and family and I, we lived in Charleston, South Carolina for a while. Amen, Mrs. Hawkins. Mrs. Lopez, she's gone. Okay. It's funny. Charleston, the highest point in Charleston, 6 foot above sea level. And that's about 6 miles inland. I'm not kidding. It's called the low country for a reason. Because it's really low. Did you know that twice a day, some of the downtown streets down by Waterfront Park flood twice a day with high tide? The tide comes in, comes up through the sewer system, and the floods and the streets flood. Am I lying? I'm telling the truth. Twice a day, there are certain streets that tell you what time. When I first moved there, I kept thinking, who cares what time the tide's coming in? When I went downtown at high tide, I found out why they say that on the news every day. They were telling you which streets to avoid by high tide. It was predictable. They knew when it was. Can I tell you something? Some of you would be happy in life if you just learned to live that way. I got to hurry. Number two, God left man to help run it, but it will keep running without man. Did you hear that? God left man to help run it, but it will run without man. You know that no one person in history could stop the world, not even Superman flying around backwards. Brother Smith said that's not true. Now, wait a minute. All these people, global warming, global warming, global warming. Folks, there's no such thing. They only talk about it in the summer. Did you notice last winter when they sent ships to the South Pole, which is summertime in the South Pole, they got stuck in the ice and they lost 3 ships in the ice. They were trying to prove the glacial meltdown of the South Pole was farther than it had been, and they got three ships stuck in the ice. Hello. They were trying to prove global warming and got stuck in the ice. Oh, that's real good, isn't it? Now they're saying we're having more severe winters because of all the global warming. Now, wait a minute. Something is so hot that it's freezing. I'm not real smart, but they're stupid if they want me to believe that. Oh, we're going to run out of fossil fuels. No, we're not. We have barely touched the tip of the iceberg when it comes to fossil fuels. America has more oil under her land than any other nation in the world. But your government will not allow people to go in and get it because Spotty the Owl might die. Prairie chickens might lose their habitat. So, gasoline's $4 a gallon. Say why? For Spotty the Owl. Shoot the stupid owl and keep on going. Folks, I'm going to make a statement. Did you know that God put the wind circuits into place? If you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, don't go there right now. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it talks about the wind circuits. It talks about the water cycle. And it talks about the earth spinning perfectly in rotation and revolution around the sun. Do you know why in the 12 to 1600s, 12 to 1400s, people thought the world was flat? It's called the Dark Ages because they weren't reading the Bible. When they started reading the Bible, they found out there's no such thing as a flat world. God talked about being a circle, just so you know. Everybody doing all right? That's in the Bible. Boy, I'm having fun. You know, we need to structure all we do so that it can function with or without any person. Dad, your children need to respect mama when daddy's not home, whether you're there or not. If your wife cannot look at your children and say, you just wait till daddy gets home, and it doesn't strike the fear of God in them, something's wrong, Dad. Now we have daddies who stay home and mama goes to work, and he says, wait till your mama gets home. Gag. I'm not against women working, but I am against house husbands, amen? House mommies. That ain't happening. Now, hang in there for a second. Listen to me very carefully. My children knew if I wasn't there, mama's in charge. When daddy stepped back through the door, daddy was back in charge. I know. I raised two boys. They get to be a certain age. Every once in a while, I had to say, son, that's your mama. When I'm not here, I don't care how big you are, you listen to her. You might get away with it with her, but when I get home, you're not going to get away with it. Period. End of discussion. Say why? That's your mama. And she's representing me. Shut up and listen to her. But it's a woman. I don't care what it is. That's your mama. You shut up and listen to her. And by the way, I taught in Christian schools. I oversaw Christian schools. I had to tell teenage boys all the time, I just don't like some woman telling me what to do. I said, you're not that big of a man. Trust me, you can obey a teacher. She's not telling you what to do. You're too stupid to do it on your own, so she needs to teach you what to do. Now listen to her. So I don't think you should have talked to him that way. I had less troubles. How about you? Folks, I set church up that if for some reason I'm not here, it could function without me. I'll be going out of town for 3 days for my son's wedding. Brother Smith, what, 6, 7, 8 weeks ago? I contacted Brother Smith and said, could you run soul winning on that day that I'm going to be gone for Josh's wedding? I made sure if I was here or not, the program of the church keeps going. There's a man in this room right now that, God forbid, but if something happened to me and I got sick or had a kidney stone or something and couldn't hit the pulpit, that he's ready to preach. Say why? Because I believe that the church has to go on whether I'm here or not. Just cause, now, I might have a barf bucket back here, and you might have to hear me if I'm preaching, but that's okay. I plan on preaching unless I just cannot make it. Folks, over a year ago, year and a half ago, I had a kidney stone on a Wednesday morning, had somebody lined up to preach that night to come in. I found out I was going to be able to make it to the pulpit. Now, I still don't remember what I said that night, but I preached with a kidney stone. Yeah. It was probably the funniest sermon I ever preached. I have no idea. But may I say this? You know, you're not a good person just because you can do all the work. Mommies, listen to me. Just because you can do all the work doesn't mean you've been a good mama. You need to teach those children to be able to do their own work. Just because you can do all the laundry doesn't mean you've been a successful mom. Can your boys and your daughter do the laundry without you? Some of you need to teach your children what life is really all about. Well, I can do it faster myself. Nobody said it had to be done fast, but it's got to be done. And they've got to learn how to do it. Boy, that's a good statement. By the way, I'm just going to throw this in on the side. Friendships are good. But your whole life is not to revolve around one friendship. Some of you want a best buddy. Your best buddy ought to be your spouse. And some of you only want to spend time with a little pocket of people here, a little person there, a little pocket of people there. And it's just, I'm going to withdraw from everybody else because somebody might corrupt me. No, you're corrupted already. Jump out and have lots of friends. You're not so good that you could have just one set of friends and be okay in life, just so you know. That's not real popular, is it? Can I tell you something? I have older age friends. I have middle age friends. I have teenage friends. I have children friends. Can I tell you why? I believe in having a lot of friends. Everybody doing okay? Man, some of you, if your friend doesn't come to church, I'm not going anymore. Oh, that's big boy stuff, isn't it? Well, I won't do that because my friend won't go. Oh, wow. Do you want me to burp you too? Some of you would smack your children's backside for acting like that, but they got it from you. Okay. I better get going. Number three. I promised Brother Smith I was going to be nice tonight. It didn't work out that way. Lastly, this is what I really want you to get. Now, if you didn't listen to anything else, listen to this. God, in all of his busyness, takes time to look at the needs of others. Look how busy Jesus was. But look how he took time to talk to Peter's mother-in-law and heal her. And when he healed people, he didn't have a mass service and say, touch the back of your television set and feel the power, you're healed. You're going to feel some power, all right, but it's not the power of God. I want you to notice in Luke chapter 4, it said they brought them to him and he touched every one of them. He took time to personally touch each and every one of them. Wow. Now, I'm going to make a statement. He is not so busy running the universe that he did not hear the cry of a child. When Ishmael and his mother Hagar were kicked out by Abraham, the Bible says, and God heard the cry of the child. This is the same God running the universe, and he heard a child cry. We live in a sick world. Somebody's being hurt. Somebody's being robbed. And we want to sit there. The first thing we think of, let's take pictures. Let's pull our phone out. It's amazing how many people have time to pull their phone out and take pictures, but nobody's jumping in to help the person getting attacked. Care about a stupid picture, help some old person getting beat up and getting their purse pulled away. Go beat the snot out of the guy. There's a man in our church, I love this story. I won't embarrass him, I won't tell you who it is. He saw a vet one day. He was all broken and bloody, laying on the side of the road, and he stopped his van. He said, what's the matter? He said, somebody beat me up and took my wallet. And he said, which way did they go? Or he said, how long ago? He said, they just left just few seconds ago. He said, which way did they go? And he said, went down that way. Guy took his vehicle, drove down the road three blocks away, found the guy, pulled a pipe out, and beat the tar out of the guy. Got his wallet back, took it back to the vet, and healed up the vet. Amen. Said, what did he do to the other guy? As far as I know, he left him there to suffer like he left the vet. I'm not advocating going beating people up, but I like what he did. I don't know, that wasn't in my sermon, but it sure was good. Amen. You know that God was not... Listen to this statement. God was not so possessed with his own success that he forgot to want to be with his children. Daddies, can I tell you something? You can be so driven to succeed that you forget your family. You can be so driven to get what you want, what you think you have to have, that you forget your own family. Can I tell you something? That lady that you married is your wife, and you married her not to just keep house, but for you to spend time with. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Did you know that God looks at helping people as strength, not weakness? Did you know that when God takes time to stop and help somebody, it strengthens God? He doesn't look at it as stress. I'm going to shock you. You gain physical and mental strength by helping people in need. Guaranteed. When my schedule gets busiest, I don't know about you men, when I am really under the gun, I can get a little short, brief, terse, agitated. Shut up. I got to work real hard. My schedule changed this morning. I taught Sunday school this morning. Brother Gus wasn't feeling real well. And actually, he just didn't study this week. No, he just wasn't feeling well. And he and I had talked about it yesterday. But I was a little out of schedule. And I'll be honest with you, preaching this morning, I had to, in my own head, keep telling myself, slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down. Say why? Because I was out of rhythm. I was out of routine. And I didn't want to preach a truth and barrel through everybody because my mind was so busy that I got to get through this, I got to get through, because I can do that. Ask my wife. I got to be careful. My wife has taught me how to walk with her. Man. I can get so busy, I can leave her in the dust. Whew. I'm thinking, come on, woman, hurry up. We got things to do. She says, you can go ahead. I'll catch up to you later. Whew. I didn't marry her for her to catch up to me. I married her so that we could walk through life together. Some of you get frustrated at your wife instead of slowing down to take time to be with her. Some of you get frustrated with your children. Okay, they're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. They're not 45 years old like you are. Everybody doing all right? God didn't make a 5-year-old to be as successful as a 35-year-old for a reason. It's your job to slow down and teach them how to be successful. By the way, ladies, you don't handle stress as well as you think you do. That's one reason I fear some woman getting in the White House. Can you imagine Hillary? Lord have mercy. I'm not a male chauvinist pig. I'm a hog. I'm not saying that, and please listen to me carefully. I don't think women are a lesser creature. I'm just saying this. God did not make you to handle that kind of stress. Why would we want to put any lady in that position? Yes, a woman can handle it, but a lady cannot. There's a difference between a lady and a woman. You look at these now gang hags. Ain't no way I want my wife looking like that. I'm not for what Bill Clinton did, but if I was married to Hillary, I could almost understand. I said almost. I'm not for it. Good night. Who's this? Nancy Pelosi. I found out. I'd hate to meet her husband. No wonder she's from Northern California in the San Francisco area. He's probably some twink. Did you ever look at that woman's face? She could stop a bulldog. Say why? She's been under way too much stress. Way too much stress. Can I tell you something, ladies? Man wants to take the stress for you so you don't have to be stressed. By the way, fellas, time for you to pick up some of the slack. Some of your wives are all stressed out because you won't take it. We wouldn't have the Hillarys and the Nancy Pelosis if we had men that would step up. Let me say this and I'm done. Children don't know how to carry stress, so they go one of two ways. They either get silly, goofy, this is not a nice word, but get a little stupid, or they withdraw. One or the other. Say why? Because they've not been taught how to handle stress. You get children at a certain age, they want to be an adult, and they start trying to treat adults like an adult would treat an adult, and it comes out disrespectful. They don't mean to. They need taught. Not time to be an adult, time to be a kid. You know, boys and girls, I can tell jokes to certain adults, and I can tease with adults, and it's appropriate for me because I'm their age, but it's not appropriate for you. Parents, teach children how to be appropriate with their humor. One of my sons, he's got a very sharp humor. I had to hold the reins till he became an adult. Say why? Because at 12, 13 years old, he could pop off at any man and come back at him with the sarcasm, but it wasn't going to come out right. He was going to get popped. I was trying to protect him. It's not because he meant it disrespectfully. He just thought that way. You say why? Because he was mine. Didn't have a chance. Can I tell you something? People handle stress differently. When I get busiest, can I tell you what I do? I'll leave my office. I'll take about a 10-minute break. I'll run down the food line to get a couple bottles of water. For what? Lunch. Say, what do? I go down there and I find somebody to help. I'll find somebody that's got a load and say, can I help you with your groceries for a second? Can I help you put groceries away? It doesn't take me but a second. You know, I have found that doing that gives me strength to come back and finish the day. I might go to the gas station, find somebody there, get a coffee, and I'll say, I need to help somebody. I'll look around, somebody's getting a coffee, they'll get in line behind me, and I'll say, see that guy back there? He's got a coffee. Here's the money for it. Let me pay for it, and don't tell him until I'm out the door. Then I'll get out the door and get in my truck, and the guy's going. And I'm thinking, man, that was fun. I didn't want credit for it. I just wanted to help somebody. Can I tell you something? That's a fun way to live. When you get stressed, why don't you call your wife, text your wife, forget the stress, and by the way, don't tell her you're all stressed, and just be kind. Do something kind for somebody. Find somebody and be nice to somebody. But I got a lot to get done. Yeah, you got so much to get done, you're going to screw everything up. Slow down, suck some air, do something nice, gain your head back, get some strength back, and then plow into it again. Just plow into it again. You need God. You need church. You need Bible teaching. You need Bible preaching. You need to train and handle your own life with the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the church family to support and help your family during the difficult times. Can I tell you something? You're not so busy that you don't need God. You're not so busy you don't need church. Oh, I got so much to build a career on. I can afford to miss it. You're not that good a Christian, I promise you. Not a one of us are. Well, I don't need to read my Bible today. Look out. Devil's coming. Jesus took time to be personable with all the work that he got done. Could be why he was so happy in his life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is a good group of people. A successful group of people. This is a successful church. It's a moving, busy church. But let's not get so busy that we don't stop and take time to tell somebody how to get saved. Let's not get so busy that we don't stop to help somebody or encourage somebody or lift somebody up.